We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And as we tend to do, we save the best for last. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions for Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. The segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where if you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They have some other wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. You can check all of it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Tailgatewine.com is giving away a bottle of wine to whoever asks the best question for this segment of Ask Greg. And Greg's going to pick that question out. So we're going to roll down through your questions at the end. Greg's going to pick out the best question, and we will reveal who's getting the bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. So this one's the newest question, and I'm actually a big fan of this question because I think as we were talking about this week, the flip Grant Toutant from Penn State to Ohio State, this is one factor that we didn't really discuss. But John from Arlington asks, shouldn't Ohio State's recruiting have fallen off a bit after Urban Meyer retired? Doesn't seem to be the case at all. They haven't lost a beat since losing one of the game's premier coaches, and they've swiped two of Penn State's top targets in the past couple of weeks, one being Julian Fleming, the five-star from Southern Columbia, who picked Ohio State over Penn State on May 31st, and the other this past Sunday, Grant Toutant, who had been committed to Penn State since November 2018, flipped to Ohio State this past Sunday night. Why hasn't the prospect of playing for a first-time head coach hurt their perception in the eyes of recruits?
Yeah, good question, and I think that obviously there's a perception issue at this point for Penn State. It seems pretty clear to me that, you know, the Nittany Lions have lost on the field to Michigan and to Ohio State the last couple of years, and Michigan's not really causing any problems on their recruiting trails, but the Buckeyes certainly are. And, you know, when school, even though Ohio State lost Urban Meyer, it can still sell hope. It can still sell the fact that most of the coaches that are there now were on staff with Urban Meyer and helped Urban Meyer win games. And it can sell that, you know, Justin Fields, this new transfer quarterback from Georgia, former five-star recruit, is there to help lead the day. So they still have a lot of good things to show recruits out there and to tell kids and all that. And it's just a little bit more than Penn State can right now, even with the Urban Meyer subtraction.
So what helps? I mean, a couple of things help in this regard for Ohio State. Number one, Ryan Day coached three games last year. They went 3-0. They beat TCU on a neutral field in one of those games, which was a really big win. They scored a bunch of points. Dwayne Haskins got his starting career off on a really good foot. They scored 169 points in Ryan Day's three games. He's known as a brilliant offensive mind. The fact that he was present and tasted a teeny tiny bit of success in three games as a head coach, as an interim coach while Urban Meyer was suspended last year, helps stabilize that ship. The other thing, I think just in general, Ohio State, the timing just felt right in a lot of different ways for Urban Meyer to move on and for, you know, for somebody, and in this case, Ryan Day being hired full time to step in as head coach. He just didn't look, Greg, like he was overwhelmed by any of those moments whatsoever. And it felt a little weird. Like, I know that there was conversation after Ohio State beats TCU, like, okay, now Urban Meyer comes back. Are they going to be able to continue this this magic after Urban Meyer comes back? And so I don't think there's much doubt at all, as little doubt as you can have for a guy who's coached three games. And I think the fact that he's such a good offensive mind helps in that regard. It helps a guy like Julian Fleming, although Brian Hartline being a consistent presence as a wide receivers coach pulled Julian Fleming in. But Grant Toutant is a kid from Michigan, from the Midwest, spent a lot of time in the Midwest, camped out there, was very visible. Ohio State was probably very visible to him. I think there's two very different type situations, but in terms of Ohio State, I don't think they've lost anything, and I wouldn't have expected them to lose anything going from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day.
Nah.
It's a fair question, though.
Absolutely. It is absolutely a fair question, but this is just a situation where, again, until Ohio State loses to Penn State on the field, they're probably going to have the upper hand for a while.
So here's another interesting question. I think this one came in, I don't know, a week or two ago. Glenn from Pleasantville, New York. Looking back at last season's game results, which coach leaving impacted the overall win-loss record more, Joe Moorhead or Josh Gattis? I think it's especially interesting, the Gattis portion of this, because they effectively chose Ricky Ronnie as their offensive coordinator. Right. And the fact that they didn't choose Josh Gattis made them lose Josh Gattis, who then went to Alabama for a year. Now he's seen, and we'll see him, you know, up close and personal at Michigan. Now he's seen as one of the rising stars in the game. So the decision to go with Ricky Ronnie and not Josh Gattis is going to be something that defines the next few years for Penn State. So yeah. I think this is a good question in its own right, but it's also a jumping point to the Josh Gattis question too.
Like, I don't want to speak badly about Josh Gattis because he could be a tremendous offensive coordinator this year, but does it tell you something that Penn State passed up the opportunity to make him its offensive coordinator? And then according to Bruce Feldman's story for The Athletic, who took a deep dive on Gattis, you know, Nick Saban did the same thing. And I just wondered, you know, two coaches pass on you to be play callers. Jim Harbaugh obviously believes that both of them are crazy because he's made Gattis his play caller. So we'll see. But for Penn State, honestly, it's probably Gattis, and it's not just wins and losses on the field. It's wins and losses in recruiting, too, because David Corley, for better or for worse, really put Penn State behind the eight ball with Julian Fleming and with some other recruits, receivers.
Yeah.
And then Jared Parker had to come in and try and save the day at the last second, and it didn't, you know, hasn't really worked out all that well. So I would go with Gattis, though. Obviously, Moorhead was a big loss.
Segment sponsored by tailgatewine.com. Andy from Falls Church, Virginia says, accurately predicting a recruit's future college success seems to be a hit or miss proposition. I think we all know that to be true. Which position is toughest to accurately predict and which position is easiest to predict?
I would say offensive line is probably the toughest one to predict, right? I mean, we see those guys come in all the time. Doesn't matter if they're 4-star, 5-stars, or what have you. They can sometimes be tough to get on the field. So I would say, you know, offensive line is probably the toughest, and maybe running back is the easiest. I mean, if you're really fast in high school and you make guys miss, you tend to be able to do that at the college level too.
And I think James Franklin's philosophy of the further away from the ball you are, the more likely you are to play right away factors in here too. I think specifically cornerback, which is a reactionary, you know, and usually, you know, those guys are coming in and it's not hard to fit the dimensions of the ideal cornerback at the next level. Quarterback is an obvious one because there's so much of a mental leap to make. Offensive line is another good one because there's so much of a physical leap to make. You know, I think as you're leaving college as an offensive lineman to go to the pros, you are a lot more, in terms of your body, you're a lot more prepared to play right away than you are jumping from high school to college. So that jump is huge too. So I think I would agree offensive line and quarterback as well as an obvious one. Steve from Chicago. Greg, if a school offers a recruit and the recruit verbally commits, does the school have to accept the verbal commitment or can they refuse it?
No, they don't have to accept it. I mean, that's happened before. You know, kids get excited. They want to commit and all of a sudden school's like, actually, no, not yet. You're a little bit further down our board than maybe that offer we said we would give to you indicates. So yeah, no, they don't have to accept it. There's no bindingness to it until you send out the written offers September 1st, and then the kid sends back his national letter of intent on signing day. So, yeah, if a kid verbally commits, certainly he has a right to change it. The school has a right to, you know, tell him no. So, yeah, absolutely.
It's, I mean, the whole concept is funny. You know, the prospect of a verbal commitment, it usually means, it's usually binding enough, but it's not contractually or legally binding. And in the end, if you were to ask an attorney about this, a verbal commitment means nothing.
Right.
Schools can, and I think Penn State is probably better than most about this, where they won't really accept a verbal commitment until they make it pretty clear that what the verbal commitment means. Mm-hmm. So the idea of offering, committing, and accepting the commitment, it's more of a dance than it lets on. It's not like a prospect just tweets out, I've committed, before they have a conversation about it. So which then calls into question, okay, what does an offer actually mean?
Right.
Is it a committable offer or is it not a committable offer? Sometimes, you know, if you're a five-star, any offer is a committable offer. Anybody right. will take you at any point in time. But sometimes it's more of a dance to look at what their boards are, what their numbers are, where they're at with things. It's not always a committable offer. I don't know if you were an alien from outer space listening to this conversation, it's such a weird conversation to be having, but that's recruiting for you. It's all weird. Steve from Huntington Valley. You've talked a lot about Ricky Slade. I know you're going to love this question, Greg. Journey Brown, Noah Kane and Devin Ford at the running back position. But what can we expect from CJ Holmes? Is it reasonable to expect the former four-star to compete for snaps? We've talked about this a bunch.
Yeah.
I'll let you take it from there.
I mean, I think you would like to assume that he's going to be a contributor, but the fact that we haven't really heard his name mentioned at all since he got to campus and now that he went through spring practice kind of tells you all you need to know. I think we'll see him on the field maybe a little bit, but certainly not a lot.
Here's a good question that sort of circles back to the Ohio State question we talked about before. Adam Mueller from State College. One of the reasons Fleming did not choose Penn State was because of on-field production and development of the wide receivers. Part of this problem is because of having Corley as the position coach. He was moved to wide receivers after the hire of Jaywan Sider for running backs. My question is, if given the choice, which is better for the program, hiring Jaywan Sider and losing Julian Fleming or not hiring Jaywan Sider and getting Julian Fleming? His choice is hiring Sider, but he's curious what your take is. It's a existential question. It's a big philosophical question.
I actually agree with that though. I mean, you can have a coach who's going to recruit really well and get you studs, or you can have one stud, but maybe not a coach that can get you more. I would take Sider 100 times out of 100 in that question, which is no slight or knock against Fleming. It just, it makes more sense long-term.
If Jaywan Sider is solely responsible for bringing, and a lot of these guys, he is. John Dunmore, for example. You don't have Jaywan Sider, you don't have John Dunmore. There's a few other guys. Noah Kane probably too. So the impact of an assistant coach over the long, you know, short and long term is just, it's just more significant than a player. So who do you think had the best question of the week?
I'm going to go with the one we just got, the Jaywan Sider, Julian Fleming question. I like that one.
There were some good questions this week. I like the first question about Ohio State. Should they had not have suffered
right.
on the recruiting trail? That's a fair question. Some other fair questions as well, including, you know, what the committable offer and when a staff accepts a commitment. So that's Adam. I'm going to go with Adam. Yeah, it's in your email address. Adam from State College. Ask about Julian Fleming and Jaywan Sider. Thank you, everybody else, for submitting questions. Thanks, everybody else, for tuning in this week. As always, you can check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app. And now, Keystone Sports Network on Spotify.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.